This is the City of God podcast, where Christ meets culture.
And welcome to the City of God podcast, where we are weekly talking about today's biggest cultural issues all through the lens of God's infallible word. I'm Rob Pacienza, and I am joined by author and pastor Lucas Miles. He was with us a few months ago on the City of God podcast via Zoom, talking about woke Jesus. And it's so good to have you back on the City of God podcast in person.
It's good to be in person, Rob. Thanks for having me.
When we had you on before, we talked about woke Jesus. We talked about how some of the cultural lies are coming into the North American church, even in modern evangelicalism. But I thought, instead of just talking about the book Woke Jesus, let's unpack some of those cultural lies that you write about in the book and we are seeing in the North American church. Lie number one, love is love. Unpack that lie and how it, what is that lie? What are they trying to say? And why is that really anti-gospel and anti-Christian?
You know, so much of what we're seeing that's called love today is really codependency. You know, I remember when I was a kid, there was a famous book by Shel Silverstein called The Giving Tree. And this book, I remember being sort of portrayed as like this great relationship between this kid and this tree that he developed a friendship with. And he would climb the tree as a boy. And as he got older, he wanted to explore the world. So he'd cut off his branches and he'd built a raft and traveled around and then came back, eventually wanted to build a home for his family and cut down some of the trunk for that. And you get to the end of the book, the boy's old, the tree's a stump. And, you know, it's sort of this picture of this great relationship that they have. It's one of the most disgusting pictures of codependency that you've ever seen. But my generation was raised on that. And this isn't love. That is a very destructive relationship. And so I think that, love is the embodiment of grace and truth. When I see somebody who's hurting, when they're making poor decisions and I truly care about them, I should want to speak into their life. You want a friend in real life that'll tell you, hey, something's stuck in your teeth or you got bad breath or something like that on just a very natural level. How much more so when we're making decisions that might affect our eternity and we're talking about, eternal separation from the Lord or even just on a personal level of like that are going to create, bad relationships or depression and anxiety symptoms or something like that. We have to be able to speak truth to people. And what we see in the gospel is that the gospel is driven by love for the purpose of rescuing people out of the kingdom of darkness and bringing them into the kingdom of light. Anything other than that, I think, is really a false manifestation of what love is.
Love is love is really the fatal fruit of the sexual revolution of the modern homosexual movement and transgender movement, which is really capturing the hearts and the minds of the next generation. Why is it so important right now in the 21st century to pastors to be preaching on God's design for gender and sexuality?
Absolutely. This is the issue of our day right now. We actually, at the Influence Network that I'm the president of and that our ministry is out of, we recently partnered with Walt Heyer, who's a well-known detransitioner. He's been here this week at the National Religious Broadcasters. And he has a website that he created called Sex Change Regret. And as far as I know, this is one of the only websites, in the world that is really geared towards helping people truly sort through this issue of identity and finding wholeness post surgery or post pharmaceuticals and these things, medical, manipulations taking place. I believe that the church is going to see a wave of trauma in the next 5 to 10 years of people that have been really victimized by this LGBT, trans movement that we're seeing, in our culture. And I think that most churches are not ready to receive people. They're not ready to know how to deal with that, how to navigate that. It's almost like this new novel virus that is coming into the church of people that we don't know how to treat right now. And I think spiritually, pastors have to do more work in terms of really diving into this idea that what it means to be created in God's image, what it means that there is an intelligent, creative design to humanity, that God made them male and female, and that we have to also know how to help people through the trauma on the other side of this, because there's a lot of carnage that's taking place. We're seeing this in our young people who are being groomed in school. schools. We're seeing this through the manipulation, the agenda of a lot of curriculum that's out there, and the church has to get ready. We're producing resources right now. We just finished a 6-part series for pastors specifically and church leaders to help them walk through this issue and really get the resources. And I call it to develop a triage unit at their church ready to really treat people as they come in, you know, who have been victimized by this mindset.
I think that's a good word. It is love and truth. That is the model and the message of Jesus. And I often tell our congregation, do we not love the next generation enough to tell them the truth? You see somebody getting ready to go off the cliff. Do we not yell and stop them and proclaim the truth to them because we love them so much?
Yeah.
We want to stop them from the chaos and the disaster that they're consuming.
I think a lot of that hesitation to speak truth has been programmed in people, and especially parents and grandparents who have been told that if you contradict your child on this issue, of gender and sexuality, that they might run the risk of killing themselves or something like that. Sure. The stats show that you're 19% more likely to do some sort of self-harm after some sort of procedure or after some sort of transition. And so, you know, we need to really recognize that for what it is. I mean, Jesus talks about, this idea of those who, you know, are fearful of kind of losing the body, but not fearful of losing the soul. And I think that we should, if we're really loving those in our lives, we should be more concerned about their eternity than we are about any sort of, temporary, happiness that they might experience. And especially when that happiness is really a false happiness to begin with.
Absolutely.
And there's an emptiness on the other side of that.
Yeah, I think the next generation is struggling with what every generation struggled with. It's really a search for identity.
Yeah.
And the gospel tells us that we can find our new identity in Christ, that you don't have to redefine your identity. You don't have to choose your new identity, that God, before the foundation of the world, has chosen you to be a child of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Another cultural lie.
Yeah.
Live your truth.
Yeah. You know, this idea of live your truth. I mean, look, there's only one truth, and it is His truth. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. I mean, this is really in some ways sort of a summation of what we find, in all of Scripture, that it is, there's two options for us. We can either trust in ourselves or we can trust in Him. We can trust in our ways and our thoughts, or we can trust in His ways and His thoughts. One leads to emptiness. One leads to, a whole lot of pain and heartache. The other one leads to life. And for me, it's a pretty easy choice. I'd rather choose His ways over my own.
Lucas, you're a pastor. There are people out there in the North American church that say, pastors shouldn't be bothered with this kind of stuff. Christians shouldn't be engaged with exposing cultural lies. Stick to the gospel. Stick to what we talk about in kind of the privacy of our homes or the privacy in our churches. Why should we be consumed and focused on the things that you have committed your career and your ministry to?
I think that this is a challenge for a lot of pastors to navigate this, unfortunately. They've been trained in Bible colleges that have been infiltrated by, a lot of woke ideology, and they've been taught that the church should be a place to where you stay out of anything that might have to do with politics or anything that might be, offensive. Pastors are building big buildings and have a lot of staff. They're afraid of losing finances and afraid of, if I say this, am I going to lose half my congregation? And so they choose to remain silent on these things. I think it's the wrong answer. In 2015, I lost half my church because after doing a series called What Does the Bible Have to Say? And then each week was a different topic, socialism, gender, sexuality, et cetera. And you know what? It's the best thing I ever did. Our church since that time has grown about 4 or 5 times. We've doubled down on the truth of God's word. Look, the reality is, in the same way that God comes to Adam and Eve and says, who told you that you were naked after they ate from the tree in the garden? I think that, the question that I have to these pastors is, who told you that these are political topics? Who told you that morality is political? Who told you that, national sovereignty is political? Who told you that sexuality or gender or marriage are political ideas? These are first and foremost theological. They're biblical truths first and foremost. And I believe that we are called and really must speak on these things. We have an obligation as pastors to teach the full counsel of God. And anything less than that, we're not really doing our job.
you just mentioned the phrase woke ideology. Very briefly, what is woke ideology and why is it antithetical to the gospel?
Yeah. So wokeism, you know, really in many ways is just sort of this moniker or placeholder for cultural Marxism. And you know, Marxism teaches this oppressor-oppressed framework that we see. But I think the way it manifests specifically within Christianity right now and kind of the woke church or the progressive church is you tend to see a diminished view of scripture. You usually see a very similar view of sex and morality and gender and these things is what the radical left holds. There's really no difference between the two. You know, tends to be, you know, kind of that pro-choice, my body, my choice, you know, type of framework. We also tend to see kind of a similar view on open borders that you know, kind of this, the Jesus of the radical left is, you know, he's double vax, he's triple masked, he'll bow the knee to BLM. You know, he is woke in every single way. And the reality is that there are really two Jesuses being portrayed. We saw this here recently with the He Gets Us campaign. There is the Jesus who is the great social justice warrior, and there's the biblical Christ who's the savior of the world. And I think the choice on which one we should follow is pretty simple.
Author of Woke Jesus, read the book. It's phenomenal. Highly recommend it to our audience. I believe you also did a sermon series on Woke Jesus as well, which you can find online. Last question. You started something called the American Pastors Project.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that and how pastors that are listening can get engaged.
Yeah. So people can go to AmericanPastorProject.org. And there what they'll find, first off, is a statement for pastors. It's a statement committing themselves to really a historic biblical Christianity from the pulpit, and also that they are going to work to eradicate wokeism from their local church. And so we've so far have seen about 500 pastors plus who have signed this statement. It's growing every single day.
I'm one of them.
Awesome. We love that. And if your church isn't listed, let me know. We'll make sure it's listed. But we have a map locator on there where churches get listed when they become signers. And so that you can go to if you're not a pastor, you can go to the site and you can see, you know, is a church near me? Have they signed that statement? Has my pastor signed the statement? And I always tell people, if your pastor hasn't signed this statement, if you don't see their church listed, take it to them. Have your pastor go to AmericanPastorProject.org and see if they'd be willing to sign the statement. If they're not, you might be in a woke church and you don't know it. And so you need to ask why they wouldn't sign it. And use this as some upward pressure for pastors out there to really help them, be able to, stand strong and be bold. I think pastors need to hear from our parishioners that, look, pastor, we want you talking about these issues from the pulpit. Speak more about these things. We're looking for what the Bible has to say about this. In the American Pastor Project, we have a whole community around that. There's monthly conference calls, a whole bunch of things, but we encourage pastors to come check that out.
You're a busy man, so thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your voice, your passion, and your boldness from the pulpit and also in the public square. Thank you so much for being on the City
of God. Appreciate it, Rob. Thank you.
And that's a wrap for the City of God. Thank you for tuning in today. If you were inspired, encouraged by this episode, we pray that you pass this along to a family member, a friend, or anybody that wants to think about today's biggest cultural issues all through the lens of God's infallible word. Thank you once again for joining us. We'll see you next time on the City of God.
The City of God podcast is produced by Coral Ridge Ministries and made in partnership with the Institute for Faith and Culture. Visit us at cityofgodpodcast.com to access all of our previous episodes. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, or anywhere you get podcasts. A full video version of this podcast is available on YouTube. This is the City of God Podcast, where Christ meets culture.